From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening to this special edition for the 2025 Wilmington City Council election. This year, there are three open seats on council, and we have eight candidates, including six challengers and two incumbents. We also have three candidates for mayor, including our incumbent mayor. While the city council race is technically nonpartisan, the local Democratic and Republican parties do play a role in supporting candidates. And for city council, we have three Republican candidates, one unaffiliated candidate, and four Democratic candidates, although the county Democratic Party implemented a straw poll to narrow its support to just three of those candidates and one of the two Democrats running for mayor. And we'll have information on all of that on our show page. On today's show, we're interviewing Democratic challenger Cassidy Santaguida, who's running for a seat on Wilmington's City Council. Some may remember her from last year when she ran for a seat on the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. Santaguida moved to Wilmington in 2016 to work at a major tech firm. All right, Cassidy Santaguida, candidate for Wilmington City Council, thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the policy stuff, I want to give you an opportunity just to tell people a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
Thank you. I'm Cassidy Santaguida. I'm running for Wilmington City Council. I moved to Wilmington in 2016 to take a job at a growing tech company in town. I was recruited to help scale and grow the software engineering team. And I quickly fell in love with Wilmington. This is a place where I've decided to raise my family. And I think it's important that we have city leaders in place who have a vision not just for where we are and the problems we have today, but a vision for our future and where we're going and the kind of city that we leave for our kids.
And we're asking all the candidates, because this is technically a nonpartisan race, but it was like the first question that popped up on Facebook every time the Board of Elections posted a new smiling candidate photo. So we're asking everyone, if you're affiliated with a party, and if so, which party and why?
Yeah, I'm a registered Democrat, and I choose to be a registered Democrat because that's the political party that most align with my personal values. I think putting people first is very important, and leading with people in mind is a core value of mine.
All right, it's policy time. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, this will not surprise you, but when we go out into the community and ask people what's top of mind for them, affordable housing comes up near the top of the list every single time. So I want to ask, what is your take on this? I mean, are there things you think the city should be doing more of, less of, differently? How do you think about the affordable housing issue?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it is the top issue that I hear about as well when I talk with people. And I think there are a lot of aspects to what affordable housing means. And I think when people talk about affordable housing, what they really mean is housing that they can afford, that the people that they know can afford. So that's how I tend to think about it in terms of what the city can do. I think the city's done a great job with some things. We've got, you know, the 1 cent part of our tax rate that's set aside to support affordable housing in the city. And I think the next best step for us to level up is to establish a local housing trust fund. I know we've gotten close to that a few times here in our recent past. And I think it's enough of an issue now that we really need to prioritize making that happen.
And for people who might not know, like what would a housing trust fund allow us to do?
Sure. So a housing trust fund is a fund that's in place to support the financial needs of developers who want to build affordable housing. It depends on how you implement it. In some housing trust funds, they also establish programs that can help renters on the path to homeownership and help tenants in other ways with other programs as well.
So I want to talk about a related issue. We sometimes think of this as like the most extreme version of the housing crisis, and that's homelessness.
Right.
It has been, I think, maybe a more visible issue in downtown Wilmington, but it's certainly not a new issue, and you know, not one that anyone has found a silver bullet for. So with those caveats, you know, how do you think about homelessness? What do you think the city's role, if anything, is in addressing that issue?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is another thing that I've heard in talking with folks throughout town is the issues facing folks experiencing homelessness and what that means for our city overall. I think that, you know, the ways to best start to solve our homelessness problems in Wilmington are to relieve some of the pressure that our emergency shelters are experiencing. Because when people that are experiencing homelessness are in situations where they're constantly putting pressure on those, like, emergency shelters. That makes it harder for folks that are maybe experiencing homelessness for the first time and accessing services. So I think expanding our emergency shelters is part of that. We need to establish more permanent supportive housing to help people get back into longer-term housing out of those emergency situations. And I think we need to build more affordable housing in the city so that as folks get back on their feet and they find more stability in their lives, they're in a position where they're able to move, you know, into more of that affordable housing.
That's certainly something we've heard, is that there's almost like two gulfs. There's one between, you know, you might stabilize in a shelter and then you're looking mm-hmm. to get to maybe something like Section 8 housing mm-hmm. or, you know, a public housing development. And then mm-hmm. there's another gulf, if you can stick the landing there, between that and market rate mm-hmm. apartments. It's two very difficult jumps to land.
Right. And I think part of what we've seen in the housing crisis, particularly here in Wilmington, but I know this is happening in cities across the country, is when you have an affordability crisis at higher market rate, what that does is that puts pressure on lower bands in the system, and it moves people further and further down that quote-unquote housing spectrum, which only perpetuates that pressure. And I think what we're really seeing here is the cracks at the bottom of the system really starting to manifest.
So a lot of people we talk to would, sort of irrespective of party, would be mm-hmm. very supportive of more affordable housing. At the same time, you've seen this. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's been in Wilmington has seen this in the news coverage or at city council meetings, New Hanover County Commission meetings. When a new project is proposed, especially if it's a larger, denser, multifamily apartment building type mm-hmm. project, we do see a lot of local pushback, mm-hmm. However you want to construe that. So to the extent that it's possible in Wilmington, Wilmington's largely built out, but it's still an issue here and there. How do you think the city should be handling this kind of balance between, you know, a need for more housing units because people won't stop moving here, mm-hmm. but also the sense that a lot of residents have that, you know, either the development is unchecked or that the impact on, you know, schools and traffic and green space is getting, you know, overtly negative. You know, how do you find that perfect balance?
That's a very delicate balance to strike. So I'll tell you where I would start looking at affordable housing is in the places where we've already had it. There are a number of affordable housing units that came offline after Florence. And I think really working to get those housing units back online where we already have infrastructure, where the development already was, I think is a really great first step. And that's work that doesn't require, you know, any new infrastructure, doesn't require cutting down trees or anything like that to happen. The other thing that I think is really important to keep an eye on, because I know this is true of several of our affordable housing developments across the city, is as they approach the end of their tax credit lifespan, we need to be aware that that's happening. And I think the city needs to work with developers in the community to make sure that those developments stay affordable housing. Because if we just put them back up to market rate, what we're really doing in that situation is removing that affordable housing inventory. And like I said, putting more and more pressure on that part of the housing spectrum.
We have definitely seen over the last couple of years, LIHTC projects, so tax credit projects that reached the end of, you know, that 10-year or 20-year mm-hmm. period. And then there was kind of a panic as people mm-hmm. trying to figure out who should step in and try to save us. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask, you know, that's affordable housing. When it comes to, say, like market rate apartment, because mm-hmm. a lot of the apartments we see when we drive around Wilmington slowly mm-hmm. are, you know, market rate, quote-unquote luxury apartments or high-end apartments. And certainly that's part of the housing market too. Mm-hmm. You know, again, to the extent that there's room left to build those in Wilmington, do you have a philosophy of where that kind of density should go?
Yeah, the first places that I would look for that kind of density, it's really what I mentioned before, is looking at infill, places where we already have infrastructure, places where we're not going to be cutting down patches of forest to enable housing development. I know that, you know, the apartment developments is... and I know that's a delicate issue in our community. And I think we need to be smart about how we approach that because people do need a place to live. And so I think really focusing on infill, transit-oriented development wherever we can, I think is really the best way to think about where we put those like multifamily developments.
You already touched on this, mm-hmm. and it's something we've seen a lot of public outcry about, and that is the loss of Wilmington's green space. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, lots that were vacant or lots that were previously developed around existing trees, whether that's, you know, live oaks or longleaf pines, or just the sort of the tree canopy in the downtown area. So what would your approach to green space as a pretty big idea, what would that be?
Yeah, I think the city needs to continue to work to increase its protection of our tree canopy. I know the city has made some strides on that over the last several years, and I think we just need to continue down that pathway. And I think we need to take very seriously what it means when our tree ordinances are violated. And we need to make sure that we're collecting the fees for that and that we're using them to replace those lost trees.
So I want to ask about a different kind of development now.
Sure.
And that's economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is another broad category. So this includes everything from the kind of incentive deal we saw with PPD or Live Oak Bank to the sort of, you know, softer approach where maybe the city is a facilitator for new businesses. We've seen things like there at one point there were box seats for city council members at Live Oak Pavilion or, you know, Chamber of Commerce efforts to sort of lure people here. The Wells Fargo Golf competition was part of that, with the hopes that, you know, business owners would come here and say, hey, this is a pretty grand place to start a business or to move a business to. So, you know, what would your approach to that kind of economic development be? Or do you think the city has a role in it?
That's a great question. I do think it does play a role in, you know, establishing a vision for the kind of city that we want to be and the kinds of businesses that we want to attract. And where it makes sense, I think the city should participate in making sure that we are attracting the kinds of businesses that are going to help our economy flourish. But we're also a city where people who work at these businesses want to live. You know, I shared earlier my story of coming to Wilmington. I was really excited to live in a beach town. You know, I'm a kid who grew up in the desert. And so, like, being by the ocean every day is really awesome. But there were a lot of factors that I had to take into account, not just what is the job opportunity and is this a good company, but also what is it, can I afford to live here? What is it going to be like to live here? What are the schools like here as I'm raising my family? And so I think the city plays a role in helping establish our overall community. And then we are a place that's attractive for businesses and for employees. The other thing that I think is really important about this, and I found this, you know, in the roles that I've had working here in Wilmington, I think it's important that the city plays a role in also growing the talent that we need, building a talented workforce so that as we attract these businesses, as we diversify the industries in the city, we are raising the people who can take on those jobs and we don't have to find ourselves in a situation where we have to look outside of the city to get the talent that we need to make sure these businesses are successful.
That's definitely been one concern we've heard. You know, when city council has heard, whether it's state or local economic incentive packages, is that you often get the Google effect. Mm-hmm. A large tech company moves into town and offers 500 incredible jobs, and 400 of those positions are filled by people who move here for those incredible jobs.
Right.
Yeah. Another part of economic development that we hear a lot about is, you know, Wilmington has grown tremendously economically over the last 20 years, and there are many people who are, you know, happily, affluently living here. They've been very successful. That success has not been equally spread around the region. There is a fair amount of noticeable economic inequality in Wilmington, as in other places in the South. That also maps onto racial inequality to a large extent. And so we're asking all the candidates, you know, do you think the city has a role in addressing both economic and racial inequality? And if so, you know, where do you see the city being able to step in there?
I think the city does play a role in that, and in the sense that, you know, the city is also an employer in town, and ensuring that we have a diverse workforce in the city, and that we are compensating folks so that they are able to live here, and breaking down some of those racial and economic barriers in that way, I think is really important. And so I would continue to support that work within the city. I also think, again, as I said, as city leaders, it's really important that we establish a vision for the kind of city that we want to be, and that we advocate for and promote the kinds of programs and businesses and opportunities that will start to break down some of those barriers that exist.
All right, so I'm pivoting now. I want to ask about public safety.
Sure.
So top of mind for a lot of people, at least in social media discourse, which you must take with a grain of salt, has been about WPD, the Wilmington Police Department, in large part because they're getting a new police chief. And so many people feel like this is an opportunity to either reinvest in things the police department has been doing or to change course. I think city council will have some say in that. But it also, I want to, you know, this also extends to the fire department, equally important, although a smaller staff.
Mm-hmm.
So from your chair, you know, what would you like to see the police department, but public safety also in general, do, you know, differently, do more of, do better, do less of?
That's a great question. And I'll be fully transparent and say that I'm not as close to the issue as the folks who work with folks in the police department and the fire department every day. But what I can gather from, you know, media coverage and folks that I've spoken with in those departments and who work with those departments is I think bringing on a new police chief is a real opportunity to take a look at the culture of our police department. And to look at the kind of workplace that we have and ask the kinds of questions like what does it mean to have a great working culture in our police department? And what does it mean to support the people who are keeping our city safe? And in some cases are putting their lives on the line to keep our city safe. So I think this is a really important moment for us to have some of that self-reflection and ask those questions. I would really love to have a police department where everybody who works in the police department feels like they work in a great place where their contributions are valued both financially and in other ways, and a culture where the city, the people who live in the city of Wilmington feel like the police department is serving their best interests. So I think that bringing on a new police chief is a really great opportunity for us to look at how do we improve those relationships, how do we improve that you know departmental work culture, and what are the things that city leaders can do to promote the kind of department that we want to see.
Another aspect of this is mm-hmm. that we have seen, particularly with law enforcement agencies, but also mm-hmm. with you know other first responders agencies, something of a bidding war mm-hmm. between local municipalities and counties. You know, we've seen the, you know, New Hanover County outbid Wilmington. We've seen even smaller towns like Leland and Boiling Springs mm-hmm. outbid Wilmington. I assume at some point there's an upper limit to where the city can just not compete anymore. But do mm-hmm. you think that is a space where maybe the city could do more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about Wilmington as the center of the Cape Fear region. And this is the city that so many people in our region come into every day to go to work, come into on the weekends for entertainment. And our police force is supporting all of those folks, whether or not they're residents of the city or not. And so I think it's important for the city to take a look at whether or not we're keeping pace the way that we need to with the surrounding market, and to make sure that we're doing everything we can, not just to recruit new folks to the department, but to retain the skilled folks that we already have. So I think, you know, again, I think bringing on a new police chief is a great opportunity for us to take a look at some of these things and to take seriously the commitment that we have to the folks who work in public service.
Retention is definitely a concern, I hear, mm-hmm. Both from inside and outside the police department, just mm-hmm. because at a certain point, you could have the best and brightest, you know, second-year corporal, but the sergeant lieutenant over them, you know, if there's not that institutional knowledge there, you're right. going to have problems.
If they're only 6 months ahead of them in experience, like, you know.
Right.
Where's your mentorship? Where's your senior leadership, et cetera?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So here's the last policy question mm-hmm. that we've been asking candidates, and that's about public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been here since 2016, you've seen some of the ups mm-hmm. and downs that WAVE has been through. The county was in. The county mm-hmm. was out. The county's back in now to some extent. We always kind of wonder about federal funding. Mm-hmm. That's always kind of an issue. And so where we are right now, I think it's fair to say WAVE has made some more ambitious moves, but I certainly hear from people all the time that wish it did more, covered more space, but that's obviously costly. So yeah. What is your take on public transportation? Where would you like to see it go? What would you see WAVE like to look like in Wilmington?
I think public transportation, WAVE in particular, needs investment if it's going to be successful. And you know, that can be a difficult choice to make. How do you invest? Where do you invest? How much do you invest? But we've talked earlier about how much Wilmington has grown and how much the region has grown. Without a public transportation system that really serves the needs of the region, we're going to continue to find ourselves sitting in traffic, moving around the city very slowly. And we're going to find, I've seen this in other places that I've lived, we're going to find an increase in traffic incidents, traffic issues, car crashes, fatalities, et cetera. So we've got to make sure that we're investing in public transportation that really serves the needs of our city and of our region. And I think there's some really interesting programs and things that we can take into account to help build revenue-generating programs around public transportation. I've spoken about this before. When I lived in Austin, I took the bus to work every day, and that's because our bus system offered express routes for commuters. So I didn't stop every two blocks on my way to work. We stopped every, 15 blocks or 20 blocks. And so those commuter routes get people to where they're going pretty quickly. I think it would be really interesting to look at routes that serve the employment centers that we have throughout the city, and really do some studies about where all those folks are coming from. And this is where I think the idea of regional transportation comes into play. A park and ride from Leland to the hospital could serve thousands of people every day and take those cars off the road. That's just an example of the kind of, programs that we haven't really seen in the time that I've been in Wilmington that I think really could make a big difference, not just in public transportation and what it offers, but our overall experience just moving around the city.
I have certainly heard there was at one point a Brunswick Extension. I've heard many of my friends and colleagues who are up in the Pender County area would love a park and ride from Hanstead, because that is not the best commute.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of WAVE that I think people struggle with sometimes is that there seems to be, for some significant portion of the population, an expectation that it succeed like a for-profit business. That it have butts in seats, so to speak. And the idea that one thing we hear often is, we see buses with not enough people in them, and that is often used as an argument to sort of toss the whole project.
Sure, I understand that. I also think it's important to recognize that a public transportation system doesn't exist to generate revenue. It exists to help people move around your city, whether those are residents, whether those are commuters, whether those are tourists. A good public transportation exists to help people move around your city, and that's the investment that you're making. You're not looking for a revenue generating arm of your government to help bring money in. So I don't view public transportation as something that needs to be revenue generating. I think getting as close as we can to cost neutral is important, because we also don't want a public transportation system that is just like a complete suck on the system, right? But I do think if we do the studies to look at the programs that will increase ridership and get us to the levels that we need to sustain a good public transportation system, and we invest in implementing those programs, I think we'll be really happy that we made those decisions in the future.
I'm like you. I lived in New York City for many years, and I don't know how my life would have been possible without public transportation.
Right.
And the MTA is not a super profitable organization, but I don't think New York City works as a functioning city without it.
Right. Yeah. And when I was taking the bus in Austin, I'll also tell you, like, the commuter buses had Wi-Fi on them. So that was my first hour of work, was the hour that I spent on the bus every morning. I could have spent that in my car, cursing the world around me, or I could have just sat on a bus and checked my email before I started my day in the office. And so I was spending the same amount of time on the road, but what I was doing with that time was very different. So I just think there's some really interesting things about public transportation that we can start to look forward to in our city if we invest in it.
I think people, especially who ride the rails, appreciate that. I know I used to teach English. I graded a lot of papers on the one train up to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, all right, those are our policy questions, but I want to give you opportunity, anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get to, or maybe that you think is, not enough a part of this conversation about this city council campaign.
Sure. One of the things that I've seen, on social media and in talking with voters is there's this call that I think for candidates who are everyday regular people. We don't just want elite people or the same people we've always had. And I guess what I would share with folks is I view myself as a regular person. I'm a parent who's raising a daughter here, so I make, school drop-off and pickup runs every day. I work for a company, and so I know what it means to have a job and, think about paying my bills and looking at cost of living here. So I guess that's just what I would say is I'm a real person who's living a real life here in Wilmington. That said, I also have a lot of leadership experience in my career background, helping organizations scale and grow. I think that's something that we need certainly here in the city. And I'm really excited and passionate about what kind of Wilmington we can build for the future and making good things happen here.
All right. Well, Cassidy Santaguida, candidate for Wilmington City Council, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
That was our interview with challenger Cassidy Santaguida, who's running for a seat on Wilmington City Council. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Newsroom. And check out our other candidate interviews at whqr.org or wherever you get The Newsroom as a podcast.